Welcome to the From the Field broadcast. It is my hope and prayer that God will use this message to touch your heart. Thank you for listening. May God bless.
I appreciate the good grace of God. I'm a product of grace here before you this evening. You're saved by His grace tonight. You also are a product of His grace. But in order for us to stand before Him holy and without blame and love, there is an understanding that God, in His infinite knowledge, His ways are above our ways, and they're past finding out. Somehow in Christ, before the foundation of the world, saw each of us here tonight. What I find amazing is this, that the Bible declares to us, as Paul opens this this wonderful and powerful epistle, as he brings the hearts and minds of these believers back to a state to where Christ was the center of everything, where Jesus Christ was the head, where He was above it all. And he comes to this this understanding that we are blessed with all spiritual blessings. And when we think about a blessing, I don't want our minds to go to the refrigerator and see it full. That's just a benefit. A blessing, a spiritual blessing, is something that comes from God. For we know that the Word of God is clear and precise when it speaks to us and declares these wonderful truths. The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 3, the Bible says, "But it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." And so what we find now is the Lord's Spirit revealing these wonderful truths unto us. Oftentimes in our Christian life, we can come to a place of plateau and not grasp any more wonderful things about the grace and mercies of God. Of course, we know Paul there is quoting a scripture in Isaiah 64, where the Bible says in verse 4, "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor prepared, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what He hath prepared for them, for him that waiteth for Him." And so we see this marvelous working of God in His infinite understanding and His miraculous wisdom, that God can and has revealed unto us by His Spirit. And so these blessings are spiritual blessings. Paul, throughout his ministry, those churches had great desires for every believer, whether they was in Corinth or throughout Galatia or in Ephesus or in Colossae, that they might reach a state of maturity and in fullness and perceive with all knowledge, all wisdom, and all spiritual understanding what is the will of God and what God would have for their each and individual lives. What we find even in as some as considered the masterpiece of Paul's epistles, in the book of Romans, chapter number 11, we find in verse 33, "Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments, and His ways are past finding out. For who hath known the mind of God, or who hath been His counselor? Who hath a first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen." And so we find now, as Paul is penning these words to that Ephesian church, that there is a great desire and a great hunger for them to grasp the wonderful spiritual blessings that are found in Jesus Christ. We know the Bible tells in the book of Genesis chapter 41 in the latter part, in the story of Joseph, that the famine was throughout all the land. And then Joseph was given command and he opened up all the storehouses. And so there was plenty to go around for all that was in need. I don't know your spiritual need tonight. There's a lot of you that I don't know. I don't know your name. I don't know what road you live on. I don't know what area that you live in other than this place here in North Carolina. But can I say tonight that I believe God has a desire for each and every one of us to grow onward, upward into a fullness and walking in maturity and coming to a deeper and a more clearer view of spiritual blessings. And so as we look tonight, our mind goes to where he says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. What an amazing concept to ponder on, that God has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Before God said, let there be light. Before God said, let these seas be divided, the firmament up above and the water below. Before there was even a bird or a fish in the water. Before the sun was even set in its place, or the moon in its socket, or the stars in their place. God had already had a plan. Isn't it amazing? Before God had even created man. Before Adam and Eve had even sinned in the garden and fallen in the garden. For it is by one man sin entereth the world. Romans 5:12 tells us that it was Adam and his sin, that sin is passed upon, death is passed upon all man because of that first sin. But long before sin ever came in the garden, the Bible says in Revelation that there was a lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world. Before there was ever a problem, God already had an answer. Before there was ever an issue, God already had a solution. Before there was ever a question on what to do, God said, I already know what we're going to do. And so I appreciate the good grace of God tonight. Now, I want you to understand tonight, as we're here in this place, let our minds be focused upon Christ, the one who was slain, who was crucified before the foundation of the world. God and Christ and the Holy Spirit, these three are one. They beareth witness. And in Christ is God. And in that three together in one is a triune being and is an eternal being. In Christ, he's never had a beginning. He's never had an ending. He is the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. In Christ, in God, he's that we, my friend, that are saved by the grace of God, have been chosen in him. That's a profound thing to ponder on. I often sit there sometimes in our little jungle area, little jungle community, and I set my hammock and I ponder on things of God. And I find my mind searching the scriptures. I find my mind wanting to know more about my Lord, as the old hymn says. More, I want to know more. And so I picture the Lord Jesus tonight and all about the Lord as a sphere or as a globe. And as we see that globe, we see just one side of it. And as it spins around, we know there's more on the other side. And so there's a hunger down on the inside of our heart tonight, down on the inside of that inner man tonight, that wants to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ. What all was done upon the cross, what all was secure for the saints of God when Jesus, in full obedience, took that lone pilgrim trail that was the death, even the death of the cross. We find ourselves now in this chapter in 2 Chronicles chapter number 18. It's a story that I believe will help illuminate this marvelous and amazing truth in the Word of God. What we find here are two kings, the king of Israel, whose name is Ahab, and the king of Judah, whose name is Jehoshaphat. These two have come together. Now, predominantly they would go down to this area to meet the Syrians. They would oftentimes sacrifice and try to befriend the Syrians. But on this occasion, they've made their mind up that they're going to Ramoth Gilead, but to battle and to fight. And so as they prepare their troops, as they prepare their supplies, they're making their way down to the battlefield. And on one side is the king of Syria and all of his men standing in array. They got their armor on, their swords are out, and they're ready to fight. And then on the other side is this divided kingdom of Israel and Judah. They make their way down as they're preparing themselves. The one king looks to the other and says, do you not have any prophets that can prophesy that we may know what the Lord has for us to do? And Ahab, the king of Israel, said he gathered up 400 prophets. And these men, a prophet is supposed to be a representative of God. Whatever God had said, that's exactly what they're going to declare and speak. But we also understand in that day, even in our day, in these last days, that the Word of God is clear. It says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits where they are of God, because there are many false prophets are gone out into the world." And so here now, we find these 400 prophets that are saying a false prophecy. It's amazing how they're influenced to say certain things to get on the king's good side. I don't know if the king pampered them or paid them or whatever the relationship there was, but they was wanting to say things to make the king smile. They was wanting to say things to make the king happy. And so they prophesied, go up, the Lord will give you the battle. You'll be able to drive out all the Syrians, and it'll be a great victory. And what's amazing, that there's one man, there's this one king that's got some kind of a connection with God. And he says, wait a minute now, is there not somebody else that we can hear from? He's just heard 400 men, 400 prophets say, go up, the battle's yours. Go and fight. God will give you the victory. But there's something on the inside of this King Jehoshaphat that says, I want to hear from one more. Is there not one of the Lord? Is there not one of God that'll tell us the truth? And so he goes ahead and he says, there is this one whose name is Micaiah. He said, I do not like the man. Matter of fact, he used a strong word and said, I hate the man. And he never says anything good to me. He always says things I don't like to hear. And so what we find now is a servant goes and brings this prophet, the real man of God, shows up on the scene. He's given opportunity. The other servant has prepped him and says, just say something good. Just don't kill the party. Just say something good. And so he starts out trying to be somebody that he's not and say something good.
How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure.
As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Thank you for tuning into our broadcast today. I hope it's been a help and a blessing to you. Please send all correspondence to Brother Andrew at P.O. Box 43, Hayesville, North Carolina, 28904. Thank you for making our ministry a matter of continued prayer.
Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart. which have paid my ransom.